Brian, we're ready to start your hearing, and the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse will serve as the lead for your hearing, so just hold on, and she will be with you shortly, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. White, could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Kevin Lawrence White, and my ADC number is 322998.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. And this is concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you were notified about this hearing on July 3rd when you signed a paper that day. Do you remember?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that paper is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. Would you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself?
I would like to represent myself today.
Okay, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the board that's conducting the hearing today. If you look on the screen, on the video screen, to your right, so at the end of the bench, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing. We also have with us in the room Mr. Westby. There you can see Mr. Westby now. He is with the Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing. So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Wright and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Wright?
I swear.
Okay.
I do.
Westby. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Wright, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. White, for phase one, I'm going to read each of these allegations to you, and I need you to tell me if they're true or false. Okay, sir?
Okay.
So we'll start phase one. And the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling on or about May 19th, 2018, at 9 a.m., as directed. And Mr. White, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, sir. The other allegation number 2, is that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 3227 East Packard Avenue in Kingman, Arizona, on or about June 1st, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. White, is this true or false?
That is false.
That is false. Okay, sir. Then I'm going to take some testimony from Mr. Westby, and we'll be right back. Just hold on the line to Mr. Westby if you read allegation number 2 for us. Thank you. Sorry, I caught you off guard.
On June 6, 2018, this officer, Cynthia Lopez, and Senior Parole Officer Clark went to offender's home located at 3227 East Packard Avenue, Kingman, Arizona, 86401, to make contact with the offender with no success. A letter of non-compliance was left at the residence front door directing offender Wade, number 322998, to report a person to the Kingman Parole Office located at 1865 Airfield Avenue, Kingman, Arizona, 86401, on June 8, 2018, at 9 a.m. Senior Parole Officer Clark received a phone call from the sponsor, Terry White, that advised the offender left the residence the night of June 1, 2018. The sponsor stated that he heard the offender could possibly be living in the Golden City, Arizona area. The offender's current living whereabouts are unknown, thus making him an absconder from supervision.
So, Mr. White, what's not true about that allegation?
Well, when I never changed my address. When they did show up to my house, I was actually at MCC signing up for school like they wanted me to. The only thing that I know that I did wrong was on June 1st, when I found out that I missed that class, You know, I did not return back to where I was supposed to, but I was never in the Bullhead City area. I was in Keeman. I was actually only a few houses down from where I live.
Okay, but you did leave your residence.
Yes.
You went a few houses down.
Yes.
Okay, sir. All right, I'm going to make a motion then, based on Mr. White's admission for allegation number one, and based on testimony of Mr. Westby for allegation number two, I move to find Mr. White delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal vice or company.
Second.
Okay, I'll say seconded, motion by myself, seconded by Dr. White, and agreed by Mr. Quinones. Okay, back to you, Mr. White. We'll do start phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. You'll have an opportunity during this phase to give the board a lot of detail about what you were doing and anything else you want to tell the board. But before we do that, we're going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information so we have a little more to work with here. So, Mr. Westby, if you will, please. Thank you.
On May 17, 2018, Mr. White was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on June 11, 2018 by the Mojave County Sheriff's Office for criminal charges. He was back in DOC custody on June 12, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of October 25, 2018, 10 of 7 days. Current conviction, 2017, arson of structure, 1 year. 2017, trafficking in stolen property, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score is a 3-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Soldier Boys Kingman Criminal Street Gang. He has no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal. He has no other arrest on record. His community risk score is a G5-D5.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. White. It looks like you were approved to live at that 3227 East Packard Avenue in Kingman, but then when we talked about the allegation, you said you moved a few houses down.
No, I didn't move. I guess it was just temporary. You know, because I already knew since I didn't go to that meeting that I was going to get arrested.
Okay, so you left, your belongings were then at 3227 East Packard. That's where your stuff was.
Yes, that's where all my...
And who lives there? Who lives in that house?
My father.
Okay, that's your father's house. So which house, you moved a few doors down, who lives at that house where you were?
It was my girlfriend's dad's house.
Okay, so girlfriend's father. Okay, and did your father know where you were?
He did not because I did not have my phone on me, so I wasn't able to get in contact with him.
Okay, you wouldn't think he'd be worried about you?
Yeah, I know he was worried about me.
Okay, sir, I'm just curious about that. Okay. All right. So it looks like, for what Mr. Westby said, the parole officers went and left a letter on the front door at 3227 East Packard. Did you ever get that letter?
Me, I did not.
You did not get the letter. Okay. And that was the letter telling you to report. All right. And it looks like you were assigned to submit some urines for drug testing with a task. Did you ever submit any urine, sir?
I did not, and I don't know when that occurred because I did call every day, even when I wasn't living where I was supposed to be living. I was calling tax.
Okay, because there's no indication that your number had, or your caller had been called. Had you had a drug problem, sir, or not? No drug problem. What?
I have no drug problem.
Okay. Have you used drugs though?
I have before, yes.
Okay. What drugs? What drugs did you use?
When I was a little younger, I just smoked weed, you know.
Okay. So marijuana.
Yeah.
All right. Making some notes for myself here. All right. So what were you doing during that 10 days? Did you have a job, or were you going to school? You mentioned MCC.
Honestly, with you guys, I'm not going to even make any excuses for my actions. You know, I know what I did was wrong, and, you know, being 19, I'm starting to realize that, you know, I can't always rely on my dad for help. You know, I gotta start taking initiative for myself, and I did try to sign up for MCC, but I never followed through with that because I ended up getting arrested. And I was talking to my educational teacher in here, and she was telling me that a job course would be a good idea for me. So I think, like, if you guys, you know, do let me get out or whatever, you know, I would really like to do job corps because I can further my education, and that's something parole wants me to do, and they also want me to have a job so I can get into a career.
Right. But
to answer your question, I really don't have any excuses, you know. I wasn't taking it seriously, I do admit that, but being in here for, you know, this last month or whatever, like, it made me realize I could use the services parole are providing me, you know, so I can make the proper adjustments in my life, you know, so I can be successful. You know, I really do want to be a successful young man, you know. I just keep making little dumb choices, you know, and I think with job courses, it's really going to help me because, you know, my time, I can, you know, check into my parole officer when I need to, and further my education, which is very important to me, and that just recently became important to me. And as far as the drug classes go, I don't feel like I have a drug problem, but, you know, I'm always open to listen, you know, to what, I can always learn something, you know.
Okay. So what did you think of your relationship with your parole officer? Did you get along well with her?
I did get along well with her. When I was in the office and she signed me to the class, she asked me if I would have any issues of going to the class, and I did tell her that transportation would be an issue for me. And I should have, on my behalf, I should have asked her for some bus tickets. Right. You know, but that's where I went wrong, you know. And knowing that I have that class that day, I should have done everything possible, you know, to make it to that class. And I just, you know, so.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question for Mr. White? Okay. Mr. White, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. If you can, is there anything that you thought of and you say, gee, I wish I would have told him that? Is there anything else you think we should know?
I pretty much said everything, you know, but the only thing I'll put out there is, you know, I know what to do different next time, you know. I have a good living environment. I have a loving father. You know, he's been there for me since day one, you know. He adopted me when I was 7 years old. He never gave up on me, so I gotta, you know, if you guys do release me, I would like to return back there, you know, and actually stay there, you know, because I can use the support. There's nothing like family support, you know. So that's pretty much all.
Okay.
I have to say.
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. White, the board is going to go into discussion. And all we ask is, well, the board's, it'll be the board discussing among itself. Do we just ask you to stay on the phone there and listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with a decision in just a moment, okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Mr. White. The board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. White is a very young person, 19 years old, going to be 20 here in a few days. He has very, very limited time, involvement with the criminal justice system, does not appear to have a current drug problem with some of the more serious drugs, and has very little discipline in prison. He strikes me as someone who, for whom this arrest and violation is a kind of a wake-up call. And I'm hearing one thing he said that struck me is, he said, I need to realize at 19 years old that I can't always count on my dad to bail me out of everything, and I'm going to have to get a job and learn how to support myself. So I think he's at a point where he's turning that corner. He has a couple of months left, although I could entertain, given his solid family situation, I could consider, he was only absconded for 10 days, I would consider reinstating unless board members have other thoughts. Mr. Kenny.
Thank you, Ms. Whitehouse. I'm inclined to agree with you, and I'm also looking at some practical matters based on where he's arriving and his age. There's still a few weeks before the next semester starts, and it might be some incentive to move forward instead of returning him halfway through semester and pushing him into the future. I would like that to be a bit of an encouragement in addition to community supervision. But that's where I'm at. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any thoughts?
Not really. Two of you.
Okay, sir. I'm going to make a motion then, and that is based on information warrant 2018W1655, our conversation with Mr. White and information from Mr. Westby. I'm going to move to return Mr. White to community supervision under the same conditions as before. And I think I'm just going to leave it at that, because I do not believe that necessarily the treatment, either mental health or substance abuse, is what he needs. I think he needs to get in some kind of education situation. And I'll leave that to the discretion of his parole officer. So my motion is just to return with the same conditions.
Second.
Agree.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. White?
Yes, ma'am.
Back to you, sir. The board has voted to reinstate you, and I just want to say to you, that's kind of rare, I have to say. That's a rare thing. But we're hearing your interest in Job Corps, or education for yourself. You have such limited involvement in the criminal justice system. This is your opportunity right now. This is probably the only one you're going to get to decide, am I going to go the route of wearing orange for the rest of my life, or am I going to get it together? As you said, you have a great father who loves you and supports you, and he'll be there for you. But that's the turn you need to take. So the board is giving you that opportunity. We're going out on a limb for you today. And as I say, it's kind of rare that happens. But we hear something in you, and we hope you won't disappoint us, Mr. White. Can you live with that? Can you go back and straighten up there? Okay, sir.
Make the best of it.
Okay, well, that's all we want. We want you to be healthy and safe and have a good relationship with your father and a good productive life, sir. So that's what we want for you. Okay, Mr. Wade, your hearing is concluded unless you have any questions for us.
The only question I have is when do I get released?
Well, it takes them a little bit of time because there's always paperwork and they'll process you back out. But you could start by talking to your CO3 and ask them, you know, on average about how long it takes, because it does happen that people get returned to community supervision.
Okay, so they're gonna bring me the release papers and do all that.
Talk to your CO3 and it takes a few days, maybe up to a couple of weeks to get that processed out. But it'll definitely, right now we're showing you a release date of October 25th. So it'll definitely be before then. It'll be in the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for being so polite during the hearing, and if you'd just lay the phone down there and let the CO3 know that you're finished.
Okay,
Mr. White, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.